Hello, you're listening to a spoiler-filled film conversation. Hooray!
Experiment in terror. It's not a horror film, guys. It was a thriller. Didn't expect that for the title. Weird.
Yep. I did. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, we're here to do a podcast. We are spoiler-filled film conversation, hooray. And I have kidnapped the sisters and siblings of my friends to force them to do the podcast with me. And if they do not do the roll call properly, I will be hurting their loved ones. So, with me today, and happy about it, is Anthony.
Hello.
Happier than that, your brother is very hurt in a minute. Jamie probably doesn't care about his family, so just say whatever you want. Oh, he's saying nothing.
I'm trying to do an
It's
asthmatic wheeze.
not coming across.
Oh.
And Abby, I'm sorry, it's too late. Your brother's dead. So, what do we want?
No, I don't believe you managed to pry him out from under the Rockies. Under you
I
didn't tell
phoned
him.
him up and said you were in dire need and dying, and he did not leave the house. He sent
Yeah.
a condolences letter to me. Anyway, that bollocks aside, I'm Richard. Hello. I didn't need to kidnap anyone to make me do this. I just agreed to it. I'd happily do it. Anyway. Fucking hell. Suffice to say, we're chatting about the film Experiment in Terror, which was selected by Jamie, no doubt, for its Twin Peaks connection, which was made very obvious by the word Twin Peaks being the first thing I remember seeing on screen after maybe like the Golden Gate Bridge.
How dare you
Oh,
to make these
it's
kind of
completely. It's
assumptions
actually
and
because it's connected to Mario Brothers, so.
accusations?
Anyway, Jamie, can you give the details and then explanation?
Yes. Experiment in Terror is from 1962, directed by Blake Edwards, written by the Gordons, whose names are incredibly Gordon Gordon and Mildred Gordon.
I'm Gordon the Gopher.
It stars Glenn Ford, Lee Remick, Stephanie Powers, Roy Poole, Ned Glass, and Ross Martin.
All those sound like people I would know.
I know. They
Or
all also.
even Gordon
That's a
Gordon.
fucking amazing name. Everyone in this film looked really familiar, and I looked through all their
Yes.
IMDbs and was like, I haven't seen any of these. Why do they
I
look so familiar?
was
And anyway,
exactly the same.
the IMDb summary: a man with an asthmatic voice telephones and assaults clerk Kelly Sherwood at home and coerces her into helping him steal a large sum of money from her bank.
Did you just say telephones and assaults?
Yeah, that's what it says here.
Telephones and assaults makes it sound like you just cold called someone. Hi, wouldn't
Yeah.
mind robbing a bank, would you? It's
It's
like,
weird because,
no.
like, not only is that phrased oddly, it's backwards.
I would say abduct is the right. So, I mean, is it abduction to just spoon someone and asthmatically
Blech.
threaten them?
No, because it was her house. She's still
Yeah.
at home.
But it's
Yeah,
not,
that
you
counts
didn't
as
pop round,
assault.
did you? You didn't pop round and offer a. It was an assault, yeah. But
He knocks her
abduction,
out.
he abducts the sister.
Yes.
Anyway, it's violently threatens someone rather not just phone them up. Text them.
Telephones.
Just a quick meme in the WhatsApp group. Bank robbery, laughing emoji, bucks emoji. Anyway, sorry, Jamie. Yeah, derailed you a bit. You were saying, well, I
That
guess you
was
had
it.
said what the film was, but
Yeah.
why have we looked at the film Experiment in Terror?
Well, yes, because it is an influence on David Lynch. Quite obvious, this one. I'd actually You'd asked me why we picked this, and I had forgotten if there was a specific reason. And then right at the start of the film, there's the name of the neighborhood is Twin Peaks. And I went, oh, yeah, okay. But that was the kind of big reason. But as a more kind of general thing, I think I've talked about this before, film noir, and then films that were like in the sort of newer noir movies like this into the 60s were hugely influential on tons of different things. And I think growing up in like the 80s and 90s, we were exposed to a lot of like the influence through like kids' cartoons and places you wouldn't expect. So I've kind of been trying to dig into that influence and look at the like films in this genre that had that kind of impact, in like a bigger impact than maybe people might realize. And it's a source of I'm always trying to not make up for the fact, but I guess repent for the fact that for a long time I was like, oh, film before 1970, boring. So
black and white, mate. Just put a peg on your nose. Ugh, horrible.
So kind of similar to us watching what was it, Small World of Sammy Lee recently.
So just fill in the, you know, don't be so prejudiced to the pre-70s.
I mean, that's less of a thing, because I think I've picked quite a few films for this podcast at this point that are based on, like, look at something like significantly older and being like, oh, this actually holds up quite well and is like feels a lot more modern than I would have thought.
People who made great movies in the 70s onwards looked at movies in the 60s backwards for inspiration.
Yeah.
Weird that. And before that, they probably read books or something.
Yes, it's weird how all that works.
At some point, someone had an original idea, and well done to them, because that is society now. So, Abigail, had you heard of this movie?
I think I had heard the title at some point, but that's about as far as it goes.
But it sounds like it could equally be what gets out of the hyphen after Sherlock Holmes and Experiment in Terror. It just sounds like anything, doesn't it? Just a generic any title for
it
anything.
It sounded like a cheesier film than it was.
Were you in the mood for a noir that you hadn't seen? Is this a sort of genre you might just pop on for enjoyment?
I've been known to like a noir. The misogyny can hit a bit hard sometimes, but sometimes it's okay.
Well, this is the misogyny in this is part of the bad, right? This isn't just the good guys.
It is the terror.
Yes.
The misogyny in this.
Yeah. So they've got the misogyny on the right side of the story, at least. For the most part. I would still say the FBI kind of use women as bait in this.
Yeah, but he doesn't, like, slap her and tell her to get a hold of herself or anything.
No, in fact, I think he says quietly to someone else, like, oh, yeah, she'll probably be a bit traumatized. She'll probably be a bit traumatized after this. And it's like, yeah, that's just collateral then, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I hadn't heard of this. It did sound like a horror film. And I was pleasantly surprised it was a thriller. I like a noir. But that's all. I didn't, like, you guys mentioned, you and Anthony were saying you didn't know anyone. Apparently the main FBI guy is from some of the Superman sequels, is he?
Oh, yeah. Glenn Ford he's known for other sort of classic films of this. I think Gilda is a big one from before this. But yeah, he was Pa Kent in the first Christopher Reeve Superman film.
Uh-huh, well, that's...
Of course he was.
Yeah, but I think I realised while I... today, because yes, all... I watched this yesterday, and the whole time I was like, why do I know? I was looking through his IMDb, and I was like, no, this isn't, like, maybe it's Pa Kent a little bit, but I realized that he just really reminds me of Robert Forster.
Yeah. Who else is he like, Andy?
a lot with these guys where I was like, it's not that I know who you are. I know the contemporary person who looks like you because I'm getting to the point where I've seen enough faces to realize when they're recycled.
Oh yeah, there's only like a limited number of character models for humans, it turns out. So everyone's like, everyone kind of looks the guy who plays the villain, Ross Martin, kind of looks like a weird mashup of oh my god, I've forgotten his name.
I'm going to say Peter, Benicio del Toro. No, sorry.
Yeah, Peter Lorre, a bit of Benicio del Toro, and a bit of Michael Shannon.
Michael Shannon. Hmm. I thought the FBI guy, a bit like Walter Matthau, and who was the other one, Abby? Jack Lemmon, a little bit.
Yeah. I also, for the longest time, thought he was JR, and he's not.
JR. Who's JR?
From Dallas.
Oh, I haven't seen Dallas.
Or Jim Ross.
Oh, that's what I would
You can't say JR to a bunch of like wrestling poisoned people.
Yes, sorry.
The director, though, Blake Edwards, he did Breakfast at Tiffany's. We did the film Victor Victoria, which he did on the pod a while ago. He did the film 10, which is quite good. And then he's in Operation Petticoat.
He went on to do the Pink Panther movies too.
Yes. He also did the film Switch, which I've seen. One of the many body swap movies.
Did anyone else watch the Pink Panther films as a kid and feel disappointed and betrayed by the fact that
it's not about the Pink Panther?
He's in the title sequence and they're never again.
Yeah, and then I'm like, what's this? Who's this? Why is Clouseau the main character?
Yeah, I think that's common. Anthony, did this come up on your radar at all before watching it?
No, I don't think so. But it, like you said, it does have one of those titles where you're like, I'm sure I've heard of this. But I was also under the impression that this was going to be like more of a horror film, because it's been a while since we chose to do it until we're actually speaking about it. So I totally forgot what it was.
Oh, yeah.
So when I was like getting it, I was like, oh, it's a horror film.
Yeah, this sounds like a Vincent Price vehicle from the name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Like a cheesy exploitation kind of horror film. And then I was watching it. And the first like 5 to 10 minutes is very kind of like the most horror filled is there. And then you're slowly realizing, oh, it's more of a detective crime noir. That's okay. I like noirs. They're usually pretty good. Even the bad ones are usually pretty good.
Yeah. It kind of becomes almost like a action movie at the end as well. Put me in mind of, what's that Van Damme one, Abby, with the fireman in the sports arena fighting everyone?
Sudden death.
Only, you know, baseball in this case was the baseball game was the location of the showdown.
I know I'm usually the one making like tenuous connections to like David Lynch stuff or the Super Mario Brothers movie or The Exorcist or video games or whatever, but I was not expecting a Van Damme movie reference to come from discussing this film.
Well, it's more like when your set piece is a sports arena, like we did it Snake Eyes, right? That was a boxing arena. I feel like that's not a subgenre because it's just a trope. But there's a lot of movies that are just, let's have something big. Let's have it happen with a big crowd in a sporting event, isn't it?
Wrestling at the start of Highlander.
Anyway. So, this film, as described by Jamie, is about a woman being forced to rob a bank. The villain who is forcing it upon her is initially unknown, and his approach to make, how do you make a woman rob a bank that doesn't want to? You sneak up behind her, cover her face with your gloved hand, and threaten her into a year, while also describing her like waist size and measurements.
So right from the start of this film, I suppose, was anyone else surprised because of, like, we've established it's not a horror film despite the title, but for the year it came out, maybe this is just me speaking from like ignorance of like older films from before 1970 again, but was anyone else surprised by the like relative intensity of some of this film? Like, it really.
Yeah, like especially like this first like 10 minutes, because it really
Yeah.
starts like full guns blazing it with the terror, if you will.
Yeah, and like his just how like yeah, the whole like describing her measurements and like being like whispering in her ear and like fucking wheezing and then immediate again in the first scene being like, hey, your 16-year-old sister, she's fit. How like what would that be like for this like clearly 40-something-year-old man? I was like, wow, they fucking hell.
Yeah, it definitely was heading in the direction of right, so he'll rape her and kill her now, is it? What's that, where's this
That
going?
yeah.
It was
Or
almost a
like and then
relief that
like,
he
oh
wasn't
no,
there to rob a bank.
he'll just threaten to do that to her 16-year-old sister.
Abby, how about you? You as a woman who could easily be abused by a man.
Fuck.
Oh
Jesus
Christ. No, that's not,
Christ.
sorry. That, let me rephrase that. That's not where what I wanted to say. I was more, I knew what I wanted to lean towards what you'd already talked to me in real life about, and I just phrased it badly. Abby, what did you feel when this man has his gloved hand around the woman? He's lurking in the shadows and whispering unsweet nothings into her ear.
Well, this whole film is the nightmare. Like almost everything that happens in this is what women are worried about happening in their lives. And that's why I think it's probably a lot more effective for women than it is for men.
I was wondering that as I was watching it. I was like, especially when this came out, what was it like for women watching this, like going to the cinema and watching this film begin this way?
You can't even park your car without some man deciding your life is in danger.
Yeah, I mean even in later in the film as well, when she goes to that bar and is
Just
like,
the normal bloke is very aggressively
well, not
trying to
even yeah,
pick
but
her
like
up.
her just like
Mind your own
making eye
business.
contact but trying not to with all of the men in there because she doesn't know what this guy looks like, and all of the men are like, oh yeah, it's like Jesus fucking Christ, this like. And that, yeah, whenever like she was at the bar and that guy came up and like got a scotch and just sort of stared at her for a minute and then walked away, that's when I was sitting there as a almost 40-year-old white man, and was
Writing down
like
notes on how to pick up women, were you?
I was like, God, it must be fucking exhausting.
How do you feel, Abby? Did it constantly re remind you of how delicate you are and how awful life is for women?
So it's sort of.
Were the tropes, was it well-observed situations that she gets put in to feel tense and uncomfortable?
Yes. But I also like the way that she sort of gets fucked off with it after a little while, and then she
Yeah.
starts giving him rows and stuff. And I was like, yeah, you give him a fucking row for not being there, being all, I'm mysterious and on the phone. Yeah, fuck yourself.
Yeah,
Yeah, it was good.
I liked as the film went on, she just got fucking sick of
Look, of course he wasn't a policeman. I shit myself with some bloke I
him.
thought was you who had picked me up, but then it wasn't, and I nearly got hit by a fucking truck. You can fuck yourself. And he was like, yeah, good, fair, you would do. At that point, you're not scared, you're absolutely just annoyed. Before we got to all that business, yeah, so they try and hide the guy's identity for a while, and then the FBI just print out a picture of him and go, there's
Yeah.
the mystery solved. Is this guy.
I liked this. One of the things I did like about it, and I wasn't expecting, is initially as it was playing out, I was sort of expecting it to be more kind of like twisty turny surprises in the plot kind of thing. But it turns very much into a like step by step procedural. Like
Like a
it's more
net
of
coming down
a
on a guy rather than
yeah, and
yeah.
kind of seeing how they do that, but also seeing how he tries to like navigate around them trying to catch him out. It made me think a little bit more of Silence of the Lambs, because that's how that plays out. Like Silence of the Lambs is very straightforward in its story. Like it's just you following the steps of an investigation until it reaches the conclusion. There isn't really like a reveal or anything.
Initially, my thoughts were this is a terrible plan. Like this guy, and he's done it more than what he's attempted it more than once at least. You know, this is a we find out a multi-time rapist, murderer, bad guy who also is a sideline in having nice girlfriends for some reason. So he's like an awful criminal, and he like violently assaults women and scares them so that they can you know commit robberies for him, and keep and sort of has clever ways for it, to be pulled off. So it's not just off your pop love. He gives them a sense of that they're being watched constantly.
Yeah, he basically stalks them, but also pretends he has accomplices who are watching them all the time.
Yeah, but basically, it's but you know the, you obviously from her from, you know what you when she's released from his grip and allowed to go back into her house and he disappears and after the threats of I'm watching you, don't go to the police happen, you're obviously going to go, well, I'm free now. I will run away and call the police. Why would I rob a bank? And then, you know, the first chess move he has up his sleeve, if you can call it a chess move, is to come in and strike her for calling the FBI or whatever, and then put a boot, like a foot to her neck, and threaten her. And you, at that point, you'd be like, maybe I do what this guy says. He has got one up on me here. But I was just like, this is absolutely, how is this? How does this work? How you can't just scare people to rob in a bank,
Well,
can you?
I mean, that's kind of how the story plays out, isn't it? Like the point is he thinks he can, and
What 20% of the cut? Generous.
well, that was the thing that I thought as the film goes on is interesting, is that he's not. It doesn't like the cheaper thing to do would be to reveal that the stuff about him is like wrong and he's not actually a bad guy and he's doing this out of
Jesus.
desperation to pay for this kid's medical bills. He is paying for the kid's medical bills, which is a really interesting detail,
It's
and
really weird, isn't it? But
I like
I'm a
the
psychotic killer, but also I'll pay for I'll pay for my girlfriend's child's
yeah
hip
no I
surgery.
I liked the There's just this one odd kind of basic detail about him. Like he does have a girlfriend of some kind, someone he cares about, is maybe obsessed with, and is he clearly has like a
But he's charmed
actual
her for real,
relationship.
right? Like it's not she's not scared of him. She
No,
thinks he's a
and
normal guy.
she also doesn't believe any of this stuff, but it also never is like, ah, and she was right. Like, no, he's also a horrible monster. He just has this one thing that he's like attached to, and it
Well,
makes it really.
Jimmy, you live in America now. Is the American health system in such a state that the medical bills, if they become so bad, you will think about abducting women? And forcing them to do robberies for
Ah,
you. Is
no,
it that
because
bad?
the smart thing to do is to be a real American and just never get sick, and that's
Ah.
how you win.
So if one of your children needs hip surgery, you won't be resorting to this. You'll just tell them you're fine. Get the fuck to school.
What kind of an American are you? You've
You've
got
got
you've
one
taken
hip.
them.
You go
Yeah, you've
one.
got
That's one more than a lot of people.
odd detail. The kid was born without a hip socket.
He got to the ripe old age of six without it being a big problem.
I mean, I'm sure it's a real, that's a real thing that happens, but
It's more like in most films, they just have a sort of mysterious ill disease.
yeah. Oh, he's sick, especially in films around this time, because it was more just like a yeah, vague, like the kid in fucking The Secret Garden. I've got a lump.
I've got a hump,
Yeah,
like
hump,
the dust can get into my
that's
the midichlorians will get me or whatever.
it. But yeah, it's a very specific medical condition.
Yeah,
not only that, but you also like see him doing his like rehab as well. And I thought like I've never really seen that in any film like older than like the 2000s.
Yeah, it's like that stuff didn't exist before
Yeah.
1990.
Also, it wasn't mad like Forrest Gump, where he's got like mad braces that come pinging off when he's better, or not someone in like an iron lung. It's like, oh, you know, normal rehab for a hip
Yeah,
replacement.
again, there's it like the film is with that, with a lot of that stuff, and I think it's why the actual story itself largely works, is it has a lot of these like grounding elements to it that make it feel kind of real, which is like kind of it stops you from sort of overthinking how weird his plot is or his attempt at a plot.
This woman Kelly that he knows a little bit about enough to freak her out that she's obviously been stalked for a while, so that he has details about it to make her not be scared to do anything because what else does he know? Will he know where I'll run to? Will he know? He obviously has this, she has a sister. There's all sorts of ifs and buts and scary factors to this guy's threats. So she has to decide what to do. And this film actually felt a lot like a Hitchcock movie. I think it was very much, let's try and do Hitchcock, but it wasn't, him. So it didn't quite feel the
Well,
same.
apparently, Blake Edwards did like acknowledge that, and this was 2 years after Psycho.
It reminded me a little bit of oh, what's that Orson Welles one where they're in a car and they're going over the border?
Oh, I know. He's like, there's a white guy playing a Mexican in it.
Yes.
Like
I mean,
in They
no.
something. Oh,
It
God, I
reminded
can't
me of
remember.
that as well.
Time to Kill? No, that's not right. Fuck, that's annoying me now. It reminded you of that, what, because it's dark and there's detectives. What, why anything else? Or just, was that it?
I think there's a certain ratio of driving and cars in a black white noir that just makes me think of that film.
Yeah, and those like this was weird just seeing people drive around in a massive 60s winged Cadillac or whatever they are. I don't know if they're Cadillacs, but like the ones, the gigantic boat cars. Side note, it was Touch of Evil that we were trying to think of, Abby.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Anthony, for looking that up or for remembering. But what I was going to say is the way that this Hitchcockian blonde lady, Kelly, deals with the scary situation is she's going to still phone the FBI. Like the first attempt wasn't great, and they call her back. They're like, they she just got off her what her where she lived or what did she say? Sherwood or something. What was the word she
I
said?
th she dropped her name in that she was in danger and that, and then he
And
knocked her
then
out.
she, yeah. And so she, when they phone back a bunch of women who they have enough details, the FBI, to call back, and she then doesn't want to say anything in case the guy's somehow still there watching her, so she pretends it's a normal call she'd get from maybe a colleague or something, and then tries to answer the FBI's questions with implication,
This
is
is
that.
something that has been done in tons of stuff. I don't know if this is like the first like big example of it in pop culture, but it's usually done as like a joke. And I don't know if those are all just like joking references to this scene, but this is the first time I've seen it done like properly and seriously and well. So it was strange seeing it happen.
Yes, it is, isn't it? I'll get those for you right now. I agree completely. Jamie, who I will be seeing later on, like that, isn't it? That's it's kind of fun to try and ad lib, I think, that sort of thing. I think it showed that she was canny in this film, didn't it? It showed that she
I
was
like that
smart
it's.
enough to hide. But I was also thinking, well, he'll know you're doing it if he's in the room watching you. Like that's not that sly. And maybe he's tapped the phone line. How did he know, right? You'll hear
He
the
didn't, though, did he?
FBI.
That's the
Yeah,
thing.
well, it's helpful, but he could have come back and be like, "Fuck you, bitch! I knew you'd do it again." Like, how many times does he? He's obviously planned to come back no matter what, because he knows no one would do it straight away. They would obviously phone the police or something.
Either that, or because he's done it before, he sort of Groundhog Day'd his way through all the permutations. He knows what most people are going to do when he tries to do it with them.
Probably because we do see the other woman who he's also been doing this to. And it sounds like it's largely the same situation. Her way of dealing with it is to say that, oh, my friend is being manipulated into doing something illegal by someone.
It's a very long time since I've heard such a heavy verbal wink.
lot of women implying stuff in this,
My
isn't
friend, wink. Ma'am, you shouldn't
it?
say wink out loud.
She might have the sort of job that's weird, and she won't say she designs mannequins to you, but she'll tell you, "Don't be freaked out when my job's weird." When you come, I
I'm
won't say what it is,
not
but when you
certain
come
what
round,
her job is, because those were industrially produced mannequins.
I think people made them back in the 60s.
Painting them, maybe?
Yeah, she did spray one of them randomly.
I think she's just a pervert, like anyone who has mannequins in their house.
I didn't quite understand what was happening with this woman. She just kind of like turns up and
She
then
was,
is
she's another woman
murdered.
who's being manipulated by him into doing
In the
something.
past, she did
So
something like that.
why is the other woman's details in her coat?
He did that to show that, oh wait.
Either that or she was meant to be an accomplice and then she decided not to do it. You did bump her off after
Was
all,
she
so.
an
Oh.
ex-girlfriend, perhaps, rather than a victim? And she
No,
was
because yeah,
just hot.
she inferred that they were lovers.
Is it? She's
Yeah,
a
but I think
womanizer. Well, anyway, she is feeling guilt either because she knows about the crimes or was being manipulated by him, and is like, maybe I can tentatively approach the FBI about this. I took it to be like ex-girlfriend or something.
okay, because like I just found it all that kind of subplot a little bit pointless, and like easily a 5 minutes you could have cut out because it didn't really add that much. It felt like it's just I thought of this really cool scene where there's mannequins and then there's dead bodies that look like mannequins,
I
and then
think
you
it
just wanted
was,
to put it in a film kind of
you're
thing.
not
I think it's
wrong.
also
also to just sort of establish that he will kill someone. Like he's
yeah.
not, it's not just empty threats.
I think
Also,
it's a I think it serves a purpose. And the most egregious thing really was when, so the FBI get cases from all sorts of people all the time.
through
He's
the
dealing with this,
switchboard.
yeah, this we see the switchboard lady for some reason, but like the FBI get calls and deal with different stuff, right? So they got this one case, some woman's being attacked and forced to do something. They're looking into that, but they also have other ones. So this other woman comes in, and then someone goes, do you think these cases are connected? And he goes, no, they won't be connected. I'm looking at my watch going, this is one film, guys. They're definitely connected. Why the fuck would it be otherwise? Are we going to see all of his other irrelevant cases as well, are
I
we?
mean,
Like,
I liked the, again, the it does kind of avoid some cliches. Like he's not like a super cop FBI agent type, like, 'cause he goes,
yeah.
nah, they're not connected. And then someone else comes up with a note and goes, hey, look, it's that other woman's address. And he goes, oh, I guess I was wrong. And then
Bollocks.
let's move on.
What was with the? We saw like a guy who looked a little bit like a relative of Tim Curry come in. He was a landlord or
Oh, the
something, and he's
landlord, yeah.
just got a bow tie, going like, "What are you guys doing?" The FBI
Yeah.
are just in a room full of mannequins, going, "One of them is a corpse."
There's a fucking the fantastic shot of him and we should say the FBI agent's name is Ripley.
Believe it or not.
Agent
I refer to him as Rip.
Rip, yeah, Agent Rip.
R.I.P.
But there's that amazing shot of the landlord talking to him and him talking to, like, it's they're facing each other, but it's framed so that one of the mannequins is closer to the camera and right in the middle of the two of them. There's some really like just nice cinematography in this. Not, you know, but not just because it's black and white and I'm all arty, but like it's
There was some fun, like that woman coming down a pole cam and swing cam and fist cam. There's like a defense class with a fist cam.
Oh,
I
don't
think they had an
say,
ashtray cam at one point.
yeah, don't say
Ooh.
woman coming down a pole cam and fist cam. It sounds like you're talking about something else.
It was artful, you're right, Jamie. But as Anthony has pointed out, it was kind of like we just had this cool idea for a mannequin shop with a corpse in
Yeah,
it, isn't it?
and they're right because it is really cool, especially as it reveals it to the audience as she walks through the apartment and then it starts to show all of the mannequins.
React very calmly to a dead body just kind of like suspended in the air.
The FBI, they're feds, they've seen it all.
Yeah.
I meant to say this earlier on, but I missed my opportunity. Did anyone else find it weird how easy it was to just get the FBI on the phone?
Oh, what are you meant to do? You just to fucking solve a
Well, no,
cryptic
like
puzzle?
now you don't just call the FBI.
It's called a switchboard.
I guess. But it was just so they want to talk to an agent. There's just three of them in the office. Like, hello.
It was a very quaint office. So yeah, there was a brief moment where we see another case about someone connected to the murderer, and she's often and then needlessly hung up with the mannequins just to be creepy. Oh, that's my extra experiment in terror. Oh, mannequins with a corpse amongst them. I couldn't just leave her body about. Anyway.
That reminded me of Charlie Higginson's what's his name? Drawn artist? No.
What was that?
The artist for the Fast Show.
Oh, like pins for eyes, mother.
Yes.
The artist. What's his? Is he something? Oh, his name's just something. Johnny something artist painter. Or something. Johnny Painter, yeah, something like that.
Black. Mannequins! Oh, mother!
I just thought, when the mannequins turned up, I was like, I just thought of Tig from Sons of Anarchy having an absolute fucking hard-on and needing a minute to calm down. Anyone seen Sons of Anarchy?
A no. little bit. Not enough to get your reference.
Abby knows. Abby knows Tig. Not Tig, sorry. Is it Chibs? No, Tig. It is Tig.
No, it is Tig. Tig is one of those characters where you really shouldn't like him, but you do. It's like everything about you is wrong as a human being, and yet you're my favourite.
Anyway, back to the main experiment in terror. Kelly has contacted the FBI and arranged for them not to come check on her because he could be watching, but to meet her in work at the bank where she conveniently works because she's supposed to rob the place. And the feds are like, okay, we hear your winks over the phone. I get you. We'll come to your work. And then he's instantly telling everyone, observe this woman everywhere. It's flood her house. But, you know, stay back, stay cool. don't put her in danger by, you know, being in a car looking at her house or anything. Crouch
they
down
were playing
the
wire hard in this.
Or just observing things real close from a car.
Like, I think more basically suspicious. On her doorstep.
The thing says where the feds are the cops, like two people in a car staring in one direction for hours.
And then another car comes with two people in it, and the other one with two people in it leaves.
Yeah, but so he does, like, luckily, our killer, what's his name?
Funnily enough, Lynch.
Red.
Yeah, Red Lynch.
Uncle Red.
But also Uncle... Garland Lynch, which Garland Briggs, character in Twin Peaks.
Thank you. That's the Twin Peakometer going off there.
Yeah, there's more coming, don't worry.
He's pacing himself.
So, yeah, Red Lynch is... are his eyes slightly further apart than most people? No offence. Would you say? That's the thing. He's attractive and... But also, he's not like pure like beauty, but he's like he's an attractive guy, but he just looks a little bit creepy.
I know what you mean. There's a reason that he, you know, certain people who have a strange look about them end up doing well as actors because it's compelling to look at them because they also have charisma. And it's like,
you could buy this is a guy who can get girlfriends, which he supposedly has, but also a man you'd also expect to like strangle you in an alley.
He can pass for either charming or creepy. He can do both.
Yes,
equally well. Because it's like from what I've seen in just looking at the actors like IMDb, like he was pretty like versatile. Like he did a lot of different stuff. But I mean, this film is also, and I think this is another common theme in some of the films I pick. This is tired leathery men central. This film. Yeah. Lots of rugged, slightly sleepy faces all over the place.
These men have lived.
An interesting shot to show us who the killer is in a kind of at home, away from being a bastard. He gets up wheezing, and you know, is all tired and like does everything so his face isn't quite to camera, and then groans, lays back in bed, hides his face, then pivots to make the oh shit. Oh,
yeah, I like
I better make a phone call and threaten this woman again.
I like the way it sort of it humanizes him without making him sympathetic.
Yeah. And it keys us in to the fact that he's not 24 hours watching her. He's not like in her walls or anything.
I've never seen an old-fashioned like asthma inhaler before.
Looked really weird, didn't it?
It was like a douche that you s spray in your mouth.
You're a douche that you sprayed in your mouth, mate. Fucking hell.
It was so weird looking, and the camera lingered on it so much as I was like, I'm fucking fascinated. But as someone who was, as I mean, I say asthmatic as a kid, I was just really chunky. But what?
You just took the stairs too fast. You said it as
But I had asthma, like a more typical asthma pump, so it was really weird seeing this like old fashioned version of it before they did the old like, you know, the actual like finger on the top spray thing.
Yeah, you didn't have to take a douche back in the day then.
I had a really weird one when I was a kid that you put a little tablet in and you twist it so it breaks it, and then you like sharply inhale.
Yeah, I remember a kid in school having one like that as well. That's all I
Good,
got.
good choice.
The
It's a real,
evolution of
real
asthma
fucking insight
inhalers.
into asthma here. Yeah, fascinating. Have you got any asthma facts? Fun anecdotes about asthma pumps you've seen. I just want to get back to the sexy, assaulting, and intimidating women. That's the
Oh,
best bit.
there is a there's a shot here, and then there's a similar one a bit later that I thought was really just really striking and cool, which is him like smiling into the phone. Like I really liked how it darkened the shot, so his teeth were really white and prominent, and he's got this like this actor has a really good like just like grin, like the how like pointed his mouth is and how like prominent his teeth are. Like he has a really good sort of sinister smile to him.
Yeah, he's intimidating for sure. And it's a good
And
use of shadows throughout the film, yeah.
oh, did anyone else pick up their stealth use of the word bitch?
Oh, what do you mean?
Go on.
Whenever the scene a bit later on when she meets that guy at the bar who she thinks is him and drives off, and then because they're supposed to meet, but she misses the meeting because of that.
Yeah.
He phones her the next morning, and he's immediately angry with her, and he's like he's saying some kind of insult to her, like you, and he says I don't know what the word is before, but like right as he's about to say it, and the shot is like on his mouth at that point. And you can see his lips start to form a B, and then it cuts to her listening on the phone, but you can really quietly hear him say bitch on the phone.
Wow.
But they obviously had to like cut back and just sort of slide that one in so that the film didn't get in trouble. 'Cause I don't know. Did you beep?
I whistled.
Oh, yeah, I was wondering what I was
I was like, oh, is FBI switchboard has
about.
it tuned in?
Hello.
They must know we're talking about them. Don't worry, it's just a film. I should know this, but is this like this has to be Hays Code era, right?
I was wondering about
Is
this. Is this post
when did it stop? In the 60s? Maybe it's during.
68? So it is.
Oh, it is before. It is during.
So yeah, this film is doing a lot to like.
Well,
S It's pushing against the Hays Code pretty
there's
hard.
that. There's a conversation the FBI have where they go, oh, what's this cunt one again? And it's like, I can't believe they slipped that through. That's amazing. No, they're really pushing what it's very taboo. Like, not taboo. It's very, it's got it, it feels edgy. It feels very like it's really getting into this, misogynistic. It not incel because for some reason he's getting laid, but like the killer does have a sort of clear hatred for women, but also a lust of them. He's
Yeah, I
obviously
mean,
an out of control guy that keeps it together enough. I think it's it's modernly dark, isn't it? You don't expect it from the six.
yeah,
Well,
I mean,
maybe
I
by the 60s, maybe, but like you know.
it's especially later on in the film when he has kidnapped her younger sister, who the film I don't think the actress was 16.
Not 19, apparently. Well, she
Oh,
does. They
really?
just
Okay.
pull. They both look like full adults. Yeah.
But yeah, she's supposed to be 16 in the film. So that's like that is established, and he's like makes her take her clothes off in front of him, and you know, not completely naked, she's
course,
wearing
the
her
end.
underwear, but like it's, you know, it's an uncomfortable scene, and she's like taking clothes off and like crying, and I was like, gee, fucking hell. And one of the things of the Hays Code was inference of sex perversion, so I was
Well,
like,
he
boy,
it
this.
was if anything, it was odd that he makes her take her clothes off as what was it? Was it proof, like, to threaten the
Yeah, because he said
sister?
he packages up her clothes and sends
Right.
them to her sister.
But he's got a spare moment, and he decides not to rape her, which I thought, well, if this guy's a rapist, you know, this is a prime, you know, you're going to potentially force a woman to do a robbery, then kill her. Yeah, the sister's here.
Well, I mean, he does. That seems to be what he's thinking, and then
And then
she
it's
starts
just
to get.
like, nope, I'm not, I'm nicer than that.
Well, she starts to get really upset, and he's like, "All right." And I was like, "Wow, what a fucking complicated scene, Jesus!" Especially for, again, for the time and the kind of constraints they were probably under. I was surprised by a lot of the ways this film felt. I
Sure.
mean, it feels like it's an overused term, but you know, ahead of its time, I guess.
Do you agree with this, Anthony? Did you feel like the movie was very good at making you feel uncomfortable?
In those scenes particular, the like the kind of opening bit, and in the scene Jamie's talking about, yes.
But generally quaint.
I don't think it held it up through most of the rest of the film, unfortunately. Not like it did in those two scenes
Yeah.
where like it was really effective. So then the rest of the film is kind of tame by comparison, you know what I mean?
But yeah, I mean, you don't it doesn't keep a constant state of dread. But there's a lots of scenes where the sisters like the Kelly tells her sister enough to say, look, just make sure your boyfriend's with you and don't go
Yeah.
anywhere on your own because you might get snatched. I won't tell you that. I'll infer, and then the sister's like, oh, I know my sister wouldn't fuck around with me. And so she obviously meant something serious. And then we just, every now and again, we cut to the sister just going to the pool with her boyfriend or hanging out and having a malt. Or, you know, she's just having dates and stuff. You're like, well, this, your sister's having the awful time of her life. And we're just getting back to like this woman. There's a lot of average life moments in there. It's probably good though, because we want to have like bank tellers just being normal and then a woman being like, just it's horrible for Kelly because she has to do her fucking job all day
Yeah,
for a
I thought
few
about
days. Just like, well, I'll have to rob the bank at the end of the day, but first,
that.
shit tons of admin that looks really normal.
Yeah, it's like being in, like, we've probably all had at least one situation where you're just like in work, and at the start of the day, you've had some kind of bad news that is incredibly stressful, but you're like, oh well, 7 more hours left of having to just do normal job stuff while I think about this.
Abby, you work in retail. Did you
Oh,
feel
God.
extra
That
sympathy
is
for
just,
her when you do customers all day and then I have to go and deal with a creepy man?
as if it's
Just
not bad enough in
like
retail
real life.
already.
I think so, because there's also like the bad days are bad enough even without you having bad news to go on top of it.
Yeah.
And what do you think of the manager when the manager's told by the FBI some of this stuff? And has to be like, oh, you might get a promotion, but also you're not getting real money to steal, right? That's the big bank, can't let you have real money, guys.
Yeah, he was talking absolute shit when he said, you know, if I was in charge,
Yeah.
I'd let her, like, the balls you would. Absolute balls, sir.
Also, she get a small pay increase for being bait for an FBI investigation and endangering her life. I mean, is a promotion the appropriate response to, oh my God, you're being tortured by a killer?
Yeah, what you need is more responsibility.
I think a holiday would be like, as soon as this is over, you take some time to recover,
Fucking
see a
early
therapist.
retirement is what would be the best outcome.
Yeah.
Full pension at 30 or however old she's supposed to be.
Yeah. One of the things I kept thinking throughout this was, well, can't this woman just run away now? She only has to get the her and her sister, ISIS. We're leaving. The FBI will investigate this guy now. We know enough about him. Can I just fuck off, please, or go to a safe house or something? But then, oh, he could be watching from sleeping in bed and being quite busy, actually. He doesn't spend a lot of time watching her.
That I think that's, yeah, the suggestion is she has no idea what he does or doesn't know. So, like,
Best grin and bear it.
yeah.
Lucky, that's brutal. That's even more brutal, isn't it? Basically, that's how women have to be anyway, isn't it? They just have to put up with the horrible, scary world of dangerous men all the time with no choice. Isn't that right, Abby?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, seriously though, it is a real like fucked up thing that she has to put up with. All the FBI are very like, well, we'll clock off our shifts, so we're not in danger, don't worry about it.
I did.
What did we make of the FBI guy Ripley in this? Did we enjoy him? Did we think he was doing a good job? Was the character any good?
I miss the days of people being proud that they never shot anyone.
Yeah, I
He has
thought
some
about that
good
as well.
chats with the young boy, doesn't he? There's a like Chinese girlfriend who the killer has been seeing every now and again, who has a son, and the son is the absolute grass he is, but the mum's reluctant because she likes the guy. This multi and she knows she's been told he's killed at least three women, but she's like, eh, but he paid
No, I
medical
didn't.
bills.
Like that her I like that her argument is, nah, bollocks, he did. And that's basically it. Like,
Is that your Chinese accent there? Nah, bollocks, he did.
yeah.
It's not
Well,
very appropriate.
it's that's the way to now, I think, sensibly do accents of other ethnicities is to, if you're not of that ethnicity, don't, and just
Don't.
exaggerate your own even more as a substitute.
Almost as an
So,
apology.
yes. So my Chinese accent is an incredibly broad rural South Wales accent.
Yeah,
Nah, bollocks, he
is
did, mush.
that's been my
Wait there.
technique for must be my technique for decades.
Ahead of the curve.
Don't back down, gentlemen. Don't start don't curb your accent into other ones. No. One thing I appreciate, this is, I don't want to sound patronizing now, but there was some lovely hair in this. This Chinese woman had very westernized hair. And it's the 60s, so everyone has huge, like not beehives, but really like worked on hair. Like it's had to be in curlers and set and.
Swooping curves, inhuman
I
volume.
actually was going to bring this up at some point. I was going to say that Kelly's hair at one point, I did like, and this isn't something I ever really think about. But I saw her hair, like the swoop in her hair, and
Yeah.
was like, wow, holy shit. Look at that. Look at her hair.
It's
Like,
incredible.
it's one of
It
the
was
first
just.
times I think I've ever thought that in a film. Funnily enough, yeah, there you go. There's another David Lynch connection, because I often think about that when I look at him as well.
Look at that hair.
look at how tall that is.
Yeah. Well,
Incredible.
just good work to the hairdressers. The absolute goals for women in the 60s,
Well,
these hairdos.
I was going to say the women, because the men in this all have horrible haircuts.
I think that's
They all
normal,
have
though.
this weird, like, greasy kind of,
Buzz cuts and short hair.
but with these little, like, crinkly, like, I don't know what the, like, I guess shitloads of pomade in them, like, just awful.
They're all Dapper Dan men.
But generally, I thought Ripley was pretty likable. I liked that he was a just kind of straightforward, guy doing his job kind of character. Like,
Yeah,
he was
he wasn't.
quiet and methodically doing his job.
Yeah.
It paints the FBI in quite a good light, apart from using women as bait to solve their investigations. It to me, it's there was like a there was lots of different FBI agents who would occasionally be commenting or there or part of the investigations,
Again, lots of
and
great faces in the FBI in this film as well.
it will go with a massive fat chin as well.
Oh,
Just
we haven't talked about Popcorn, the
oh
informant.
yeah. That guy's a fucking prick, isn't he?
Well, he's
Like,
dead now, so
good,
he gets
deserved
fucking
to be
gunned
dead.
down.
There's an old man who goes to the cinema a lot, and so is called Popcorn. Because when you're a sort of stool pigeon come journalist who spies on people's
Yeah.
phone calls, is it?
I think so, yeah.
So he's like, he as a living listens in to get pertinent information to either tell the police or the fucking newspapers, is it?
Yeah.
And he is like, even though a woman's life's in danger, he's like, well, I'm not giving up my source and location of where the killer goes to make
I
phone
mean,
calls.
the, being a journalist thing is like one of the.
Oh, Jimmy, do you know about a killer that you fucking not telling the
No, but
FBI
like
about?
protecting your sources is something that is like.
Look, we're not going to get you fired if you admit that you grass everyone up straight away to the FBI, Jimmy.
Immediately.
No, but
No, don't
he's
tell me
not a proper
anything.
journalist. He sells stories
Yes.
to the newspapers.
He like dresses up what he's doing as some kind of like journalistic integrity. It's like you're not, you're just a grass. Also, I don't know what it says about me that I also found the silent film he was watching quite funny in the clips that they showed. I don't know if it's because the film was so grim that like seeing really broad slapstick
Like a
comedy was just.
slapstick with cops narrowly like missing trains and
I
lots
was
of like
actually
video.
again, really weird thing to think, but I was like, wow, these stunts are actually very impressive considering like the kind of
Well,
vehicles they were
they just
driving.
speed them up and use camera effects. It's not fucking hell. Are you real or what? Avatar's not real either. You know that, right? Like,
I think the
fucking
thing for
hell.
me was it came like after a smash. It was a smash cut to the film from something. I can't remember what it was, but it must have been something quite tense and grim. And
The
then
film.
all of a sudden, it's just like fast motion cars kind of like
Yeah.
slamming. It's like, what's going on?
The film does that a few times, the smash cuts to something like really jarring. I think the biggest one is the sister being pushed into the pool, because it's her like screaming seemingly in terror, and then she like falls back into the pool because her boyfriend pushed her in.
Well,
It made me
that's a
think a
dick
little
move
bit of
anyway.
what?
That's just a dick move, isn't it? I don't like people who
Oh yeah,
I'll
no.
pretend drown you in a pool. Yeah.
But it made me think a bit of William Friedkin. Here we go. Stuff he
Oh.
does in The Exorcist a lot, in particular, like the smash cuts. He tends to do it the other way. Like it's really loud, and then it'll just smash cut to something that's absolute silence.
Yeah. But this one, yeah, there's a nice little touches to show we're thinking about every, the editing and the directing. It's like, it's a thoughtfully made piece. I do think the people in the audience for that silent movie were up laughing a little too hard, though, at what was essentially quite shit dated movie making, even for especially for the 60s. I mean, come on, movies from the 20s aren't that entertaining.
The thing I noticed with them, because it's hard to direct a crowd to do something you want. The thing I noticed with that was like they'd laugh and then they'd stop, and then laugh and stop. Whereas like in a crowd, the laughs, they're coming waves and they titter out and they come back. One person might still be laughing or,
My next round
Yeah.
of
Sorry.
picks for this, in exploring older films, it's just going to be a bunch of really slapsticky silent films from the 20s.
We have to observe ourselves to see if we go, ha ha ha, and now I'm watching again quietly. Yeah, you're right, Andy. It would be a more natural, like, because they are, it's not that they're not entertaining, it's just they're not entertaining like that, like canned laughter almost.
Yeah, but then I can't really blame the film. It's, that's just something that happens in a lot
Yeah.
of films because it's hard to direct a big bunch of people to do something that you want
I didn't
because
even
it's never going
notice.
to get it quite right.
Any commercial about how awesome going to the cinema is, everyone is like pulling insane expressions of
Oh yeah.
shock and horror.
Nobody ever
Oh,
looks.
gasp. No one's ever
Yeah.
gasped in the cinema at anything. You just pick your nose and eat popcorn and fucking look at your phone and
I've
you don't
gasped
stare
at
at a
things
zombie.
that weren't meant to be gasped at.
Pardon, Abby?
I've gasped at things that weren't necessarily intended to be gasped
Look at that hair. So tall.
at. Christopher
Oh,
Lambert.
It's usually been like. It's usually been some kind of technical faux pas. Like, you see, like, in some CGI effect, they haven't rezzed the arm properly, or.
yeah.
Like, you notice something, nobody else is noticing this shit. It's just me and my chair going, oh, what did they do? That's
Yeah,
disgusting.
I watched that whole scene from The Flash where they do all of the weird AI slash CGI flashbacks to the alternate reality Batmans and Supermans, and I gasped quite a few times while I was watching that.
I'll tell you what Abby does that's quite weird. I don't know if anyone else does when she's watching a film. She has a select number of actors that we probably come up with a podcast, but people she likes, maybe Clancy Brown, Ken Stotts, Mark Warren. And if they turn up in something unexpected, I will go, ooh, and wave at them. Hello. Oh, it's Matt Dillon. You don't you genuinely do that. Earnestly wave at them in your house.
I have a little game that I play where I announce any time a green lamp is on screen.
A green lamp?
Yeah. You just go, you know the ones. You know the ones.
What do you mean?
They're in every film.
Oh, like desk lamps or something. They're green. Yeah. When you say, do you just say green lamp?
Green lamp, yeah.
You've been fan of green lamp? Now you're making Abby seem sane. Like, what?
Don't ever watch this game I like to play. Because they've got like 20.
I'm just going to say, you'd be surprised how often they turn up in something.
Is it do you mean the library ones with the, like, yeah. The rectangular the almost?
Yeah. So this is like when you're going to drive and you see a horse, you have to say horse or whatever.
Or you smell shit and you go, oh, cows.
I do. The next thing you watch, look out for a green lamp. I bet you see one.
All I'm thinking now is you guys are like fucking Peter Griffin in Family Guy feeding Tom Selleck pudding the squeaky fucking morons. Fucking lamp, green lamp.
Well, hello. You make fun, but we both mirror something. If they do something weird in the film, we will also do that thing in our house for no reason.
If anyone puts their arm up in a weird way, we do it automatically.
Oh my god! I'm gonna combine these and wave every time I see a green lamp.
Hello, green lamp. I'm up.
It's arm gestures with me. I really like copying hand gestures with which, like, that's really odd. I have to do it myself to show how odd it is if someone does this.
just try it out for yourself. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Why did this come up? Where are we? Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah, because people were laughing at a film in the film.
Okay, people can react however they want to the silver screen. It's perfectly normal.
I only have one other one of those.
Okay.
It's when they order a drink or food and then immediately leave it. I'm going to start tipping tables soon if I see many more of them.
Yeah, it happens all, like your green lamps, Anthony. It happens all the time.
Yeah,
did it happen in this, right? So they all, no. We watched Blast of Silence, the Christmas noir movie about a murderer. And they in that one, they ordered drinks, but the guy didn't want the drinks. So it's kind of okay, he left.
That's different. It's more when they just don't acknowledge that they're just not touching the thing they ordered and leave.
Yeah. I mean, fair enough, a bit of inconsistency. Sometimes in movies when people are eating, there's a bit of like, we've took a few takes or there's inconsistency.
Yeah,
it's when you literally leave a full order on the table.
This is why Brad Pitt took a stand and insisted that if there's food in a scene, he's eating it.
Yeah, he's a big fan of munching away, isn't he, in the movies. Anyway, the important thing is the popcorn knows where the killer makes the phone call from and will inform for money to the FBI details, but he's a bit concerned about his sources or whatever. And you get him fucking killed because some person who is working with, we don't really get to know who this other person is, but someone is working with him.
I think they say he's a runner.
Confused me.
Yeah, go on, Anthony.
That confused me again. Like the plot point with the other woman at the beginning, where I'm like, they shoot a man, and I'm like, sorry, who was this guy? Because I didn't understand what was going on.
There's not a character, is he? He's just
someone who
watches out for Red.
I think he's, the way I interpreted it is he's another like sort of informant for the FBI. Like, he's not in the FBI, but he...
What?
No. He's the guy who was supposed to answer the phone, but I think he knows that they're onto them, so he wanted to get them, but he got first.
Yeah, because he pulls his gun out and death, but with characters we haven't established or talked about.
Well, I think that is part of, like, I think it's deliberate that we don't necessarily know or have clarity because the film is kind of establishing that there's this whole web that the FBI relies on that we're not necessarily like privy to, but at the same time, that does make bits of it quite confusing. But also, it is very sad that Popcorn gets shot in the popcorn
It's not sad, it's
and
good.
dies.
He's a prick. Journalists should die. That's my, don't
Popped in the
fucking
popcorn.
pop, pop, pop. Also, he seems quite pleased to be called Popcorn, doesn't he? I mean, I don't like people who enjoy their nicknames. Anyway, this is an aside. So yeah, Popcorn does feature into it a little bit, and he has a moral bit of like, well, okay, I've decided it is pretty bad. This woman might die, and I feel bad for her, and I will it inform more fully, so you can track. Because after a while, it becomes just all of the FBI are working hard on this and are getting clues for all sorts of things. They get his mugshot, and I think is it because mainly the son of the girlfriend. What's the kid called who's having his hip replaced?
Oh, shit.
Oh, I wrote that down.
He's the
Joey.
most
Yeah, there you go.
Joey. He's the most helpful. He's a nice little boy who's having his hip replaced, and he's having, a chat where he wants to see the FBI guy's gun and just know about have you killed anyone?
Yeah.
And
I
the
love that he calls him a G-man. That term doesn't get used enough.
was good. But and then the FBI and then fuck, what's his name? Ripley. Ripley does he plays it right. He doesn't scare the kid or threaten him. He coaxes enough information to work with out of him, and also fucks off the mum who keeps turning up. And the mum is just letting her kid rehab or occasionally visiting her, but she kind of goes, "Well, I'll let the FBI talk to him, but I don't like it, and I'll give him a row for using my son." She also gets her a lawyer from across the road to come, and he's like, "You should cooperate." Like when she said, "I'm going to get the lawyer from across the road," I thought that meant she was going to like lie and escape because she was an
Yeah,
accomplice
I
or
was again
something.
it the film does a lot of like uh-oh, what's gonna happen? Oh, just this.
Yeah. There's a
But
commit
like
law.
the little like I understand Cantonese moment, and then it never
Yeah.
comes up again.
Why did he
Yeah,
know
I
Cantonese
thought
as well? Fuck off. What? It didn't. All it was as well was just talking to a lawyer. It wasn't all that. It wasn't like she said something that terrible. It was just
I
like,
yeah, I thought it was going to be like I know what you actually said, but no, it turns out that's just what happens. It was her lawyer.
it seemed very vanilla. That it's like, oh, your lawyer does live opposite and has come over and is giving you legal advice. You're just being cautious because the feds, the G-men, have turned up and are making accusations. Yeah. But yeah, the kid's good. And what's the main clue that it's like complete sorry, one of the clues that gets them to really find out who definitely what was it? There's a tiger on the kid's bed, right? And it's a weirdly realistic looking cuddly tiger
With a
that has a crank.
horrifying face.
Yeah, it's weird. You crank it and it does it play a lullaby or something?
It just plays like a tinkly
Yeah.
lullaby briefly.
I've got like of all the toys to put like a string lullaby music box in, a giant white tiger, I
Oh, it's
assume.
black and white. I don't know. It might have been orange.
But still, a
Yeah.
giant tiger. Yeah, I'll wind that up and it'll play a song. What? I
It's
was so
great.
haunted by its big eyes that like point in different directions. It's this fucking wall-eyed tiger.
And how the camera just kind of lingers on it just a bit too long, like
But
both times that it's on it.
yeah, it turns out murderous, abusive Uncle Red, his sentimentality towards his girlfriend's son is what gets him because he bought this tiger, which is a very specific present. They sort of triangulate where it came from, where it could have come from, and get the address it was delivered to before it was given to the kid. And find his house, right, or his apartment, or whatever.
Yeah, well, this is how they find where he stashes the sister.
Oh, that's right. It's just like a warehouse space or something, is
Yeah,
it?
like a
A
not.
dusty room with hangers is what I remember.
Yeah, it's it, they do say specifically what kind of warehouse it's supposed to be, but I don't remember.
Rape room. It's the rape room. It's
He
the
puts her. He puts her in.
hostage rape room.
He puts her in the spider room, and leaves
Dusty,
her in there.
yeah. It's also a deliciously evil way to get to kidnap a sister. It's like, Hello, your sister is dying. You have to
Yeah.
come. It was a bit weird to say come now, but come alone. It's like, it just doesn't sound like a goodwill. Oh no, your sister's dying. You should
Well, no,
come.
it's not supposed to be. He knows that she knows who it is, but he is like, he also knows that she's 16 and she's scared. So if he says like, "Your sister's shot, if you don't come now, I'm just gonna let her die, come alone," she's going to do it because she's just gonna believe him because she's never spoken to him. He's just this terrifying figure.
Yeah, I guess. I found it a little bit weird, but it is. Also, the
Just
game's got
because you wouldn't
massive.
go if it was your
No,
sibling, you'd be
it's
like,
not that I
ah,
wouldn't
well.
go. I'd be like, I might be like, oh, if my sister's dying, I should still bring my boyfriend, not just run out of the diner, no explanation. I guess she, it is the threat of, oh no. Like, he plays that card of, your sister's in trouble, so you better do whatever I say to both of them, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, the FBI, I'm watching her, but she runs out the back of the diner, and the boyfriend is stopped from leaving as well by I guess the chef or whatever. And so
Oh, yeah, he tries to run through the kitchen.
she basically goes into a big open top car with the killer then to just this room and is told stay put in your underwear, and I'm gonna go to a no, I'm gonna is this when he dresses up like an old lady?
I mean, that's in there somewhere. I
So why and when does he dress up like a little old lady?
so I think this was maybe Blake Edwards being like, Psycho was a really good movie.
Generally, drag is a fun thing to do in your thriller.
I mean, it's just how the actor looks dressed like this is amazing. I don't know how else to say it. He looks like a
It's like
little old.
E.T. when E.T. dresses up like
I
a woman.
was gonna
And
say
all.
he looks like an old woman in a like Hayao Miyazaki movie.
Yes, he does, doesn't he? And also that kind of little anticipation where you see him come in the background and you're like, oh,
Yeah.
that's
Oh
him dressed
God.
as a woman, isn't it? My favorite bit of him sneaking into. This is J.K. Rowling's nightmare where a predator man, transgender, comes in and invades the all-female space by pretending to be a woman.
Oh, God.
Absolutely vindicated by this film. But when my favorite bit of this, when he comes in to threaten her and say, "Look, I can fucking sneak up on you as an old woman. You won't see me coming." He, when he's leaving, he hunches down again and waddles out like, "Oh my God, that's the worst." But that's more terrifying than anything.
It reminded me of like A-level acting. Like it's what it made me think of, like trying to like physically be someone else.
Oh, it's
Oh,
tremendous. And it
God.
leaves her crying and terrified in the toilet. Classic.
Do you know what it like the way he hunched and like got like this almost like pit bull look on his face to disguise himself as an old woman reminded me of my own grandfather.
He didn't. He passed, I think. Once he started acting it, I'd be like, wouldn't take. I might take a second look. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean he looks like one of those old women that could beat the shit out of you if you tried to mug them, so like I'm not
That's
gonna
my
bother with
bag.
her.
Yeah, someone give it to me. So he does that, which was intense. And so she has to kind of go through with this bank robbery that her boss hasn't fully signed off on, and the FBI are like, "We'll give you money, but we haven't arranged anything." Is she nicking real money in this? What do they do? What, like she at the end of her job, like she goes into work. Does her job and slowly pockets lots of money in her bag to like a million. Well, no, not a million, it's
No, a
however many
hundred
thousand.
thousand,
But a million, that would be like
which
a million today, like sort of
I'm
thing.
sure, yeah.
So she has to take $100,000 in her purse just home with her. And nobody in the bank, apart from the bank manager, knows this.
Yeah, because they have to like let as few people in on it as possible to be safe.
I did lose a little faith in our SBI guy during this because he used vaguely flouncy language, but he essentially said we'll play it by ear. It's like
Yeah.
don't tell her you're going to play it by ear. Don't tell her that. That's the worst thing you could
If
say.
anything, use a female FBI agent to replace the woman to make the drop. Like, do something to protect this
This
fucking woman.
was 1962. All the female FBI agents were secretaries.
Yeah, just other wives. Just come into work,
You
bring your wife to
saw the
work day.
one, and she was the one on the switchboard.
That's right.
True. Also, there's no way there's £100,000 in one cashier's box.
You're right. I mean,
Oh, it's
whatever.
American money. It's all paper.
Anyway, she fumbles one time and then no one notices and she takes it. And it's not about that. It's about her going to the look. What she? Oh, we kind of glossed over the fact that she went. I guess we discussed the fact that she had to meet the guy in a nightclub. A nightclub that has shooting,
Okay,
like
this
fairground
is
shooting in the club, is
so
it?
this is something that my wife explained to me
Oh yeah.
because I didn't know this was a thing. So everyone knows what Chuck E. Cheese is, right? Like, even though,
Like
like,
a
heard of it,
animat
yeah,
like McDonald's-y restaurant with
kind of, but
animatronics
it
and
also has
cartoon
like, yeah, it has like an
auditors and stuff.
arcade, it has like ball pits and shit,
Yeah.
and food and whatever, like
The
kids
play area
parties and yeah.
restaurant thing, yeah.
So my wife said, and I have never seen one of these places. I don't even know if they're still open. I assume maybe they are. But there's basically like an adult's version that is just a bar, but also with like kind of like, I guess you have like barcades now for like, people
First I'm
our
hearing of
age.
barcades. Oh, I
Really?
know. My nephew goes to them with his friends. They're like loads of video game machines and neon lighting and wanker drinks and stuff.
But yeah, so the older version of that, I guess the version of that for boomers, was a place called Dave and Buster's. But it was basically like the drinky adults equivalent of Chuck E. Cheese.
You could watch women like showgirls on giant swings, but also shoot at metal cutouts of squirrels.
I don't think it had the exact same stuff that this place does. I think this is the hip San Francisco 60s version of that idea, but yeah.
It's shit novelty fairground ride in a club, but
Do you
it's like a
know?
it's basically a you meet me here and I'll meet you for the first time and we'll set up some of this shit
Yeah, our
IRL.
equivalent would be if the Crystal Maze at Caniston Bowl also had a bar. That's a reference
Okay.
for only millennials from South Wales.
I have
Well
been
done.
there and I
This is
did
the
need a
level of
drink after
niche I
going there.
want. Yeah,
Yeah. It's really underwhelming, that place. It was anyway.
oh shit, and it smelled awful.
I don't remember the smell. It probably
Oh, it
smelled
had
like
such a
piss.
distinct smell.
Okay. Anyway, before there were escape rooms for entertainment, we had to pretend we were in the Crystal Maze and have a low budget fun.
And in nice opposition, get locked in. If you failed, they locked you in the room. There was no escaping. You just stayed there until they let you out.
Just
What?
like the real show.
You actually get an escape room, but in the Crystal Maze, but there's no escape. It's just you get bored and you to your friends. They didn't lock you in, did they? I thought you just lost a life or something, crap like that.
No, they didn't lock you in the Caniston one.
Oh, okay.
I
They
okay.
did Abby. She was a very misbehaving child. That was just a janitor's closet that they said,
just
"Don't drink the bleach. You're stuck here."
very, very quick personal story.
Oh God, here we go.
My when my
Crystal?
sister got married
Yeah.
back in 2012, I think.
Pre-me kidnapping her and threatening her to do the
We
pod.
we stayed close to Caniston Bowl for her, like they did like a combined stag and hen weekend camping trip. So we went, and it was at the time still open. It has since closed. I say it was still open. Most of it was broken and didn't work,
What do I spell?
but you could still go through it. So,
Oh, right. That's
R.I.P. Caniston Bowl.
what a fun wedding.
Fucking the wedding wasn't there. That would have been incredible. Exchange your vows in the big crystal.
Wow.
You only get married if you can collect enough tokens. Well,
You didn't.
it was press buttons, wasn't it? And
Yes,
like
the buttons
shit.
would light up and you'd have to press them on time.
So it's just like playing a fucking, three arm bandit or one
Yeah.
arm bandit. I mean, not three arm bandit. Jesus.
That's driving a train.
Operating heavy machinery. Yeah. Right. Anyway, fucking hell.
Yes.
What was this to do with anything?
The bar.
The guns.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah, just it was like that was it was a good moment to have this woman basically be on a very just be with a forceful guy who just wants to fuck in a dogging spot somewhere.
I think he thought she was a prostitute.
No, I thought I think he I took it to be like, well, we're just single
Well,
people out for a fuck.
either way,
He was a bit of a prick, though. He was a bit
yeah, he was
assertive.
taking her to like a third place. If you've just picked someone up for the night, you go to your own place, don't you?
No,
Yeah,
your
taking
wife's
a
there.
yeah, that's a good point. He did have that kind of vibe to him. He's like, well, I can't go to my house because,
We
my
can go to
family's there.
make. We can't go to make out point because that's where the teenagers are having their first awkward sex. We'll go.
That's where my son is.
Yeah, that's not happening again. Okay, I'm in that adventure. But anyway, it didn't come to nothing because the guy, she literally jumps out of the car with
Yeah.
almost fear but frustration of like, no, you
I
idiot.
did not expect her to throw herself out of a car. Fair play to the girl.
Yeah.
Then she doesn't get smushed by a truck. We covered that a little bit. But I wanted to mention that before the end because
That whole thing is why the sister gets kidnapped, because I don't know if he genuinely sees it as her being a betrayal, or if he's just like, aha, this is my excuse to escalate.
He looked like he was trying not to laugh.
Yeah.
I think he genuinely did. He didn't think. He
He was
didn't
just
quite.
enjoying it.
Yeah, I think he was like a bit for his own pleasure, wasn't it? Of, I'll make sure she wasn't betraying me, but also, make her scared some more.
Yeah.
It's an experiment in terror, don't you know? But the most terrifying thing of all is that it ends in a baseball
It's
stadium.
baseball.
And it's really weird because he starts wearing sunglasses to try and hide his identity, and what
So
looked like a modern day hoodie for a little bit.
he looks like the sketches of DB Cooper whenever DB Cooper disappeared.
Nah.
And DB Cooper didn't disappear until 1971. So
It's just DB Cooper was a
I guess he was
deviant.
inspired by the movie to dress a certain way, maybe.
I was going to say something similar. You know, when you see those conspiracy nut photos of time travelers, and there's always one from the 60s who looks like he's from 1991.
Yeah.
So he looks like one of them.
Yeah, it did look like a hoodie, and then it's like, oh, it's a duffel coat, but he's wearing it. No one ever puts their hood up that way unless they're trying to be a stroppy teenager.
Yeah, you didn't put your hood up in the 60s, you put a hat on.
Yeah, that's right.
Also,
Or.
DB Cooper, Dale Cooper in Twin Peaks, his name is Dale Bartholomew Cooper, so DB Cooper, that's a deliberate reference. Thank you. There's another one.
There's another Twin Peaks.
Wait, but that wasn't actually related to this film. You brought up that he
Yeah.
looks a bit like DB Cooper and then
Yeah.
brought up that he's called DB Cooper.
I'm
Jamie,
really.
behave yourself.
No,
You
I'm
don't
really
need to be
proud of
tenuous
how
with this.
I'm
These
really
aren't.
proud of how tenuous that was.
It's not only gender, they work it in.
This literally links to Twin Peaks and David Lynch. You don't need to be tenuous. They're right there. It's in Twin Peaks. Right, anyway. So yeah, his plan is basically the smug plan was always to goad the sister out, kidnap her, so that everyone does what he, well, the woman does what she, Kelly does what he wants, and where is it they meet up initially before they go to the baseball stadium?
That club you were talking about where there's like women on swings and shit.
No, they don't
But they
go. They
don't
don't
meet.
meet there. So
I
where
don't
do they
think they
meet?
do. I don't think they, apart from when he's the old lady in the bathroom. No, he's.
Oh no, she's down in
She's.
San Francisco, Coney Island. She's down there.
Oh, right. This is it.
Yeah.
She has to go to the baseball place to meet him, who
Yes.
he and it's a big crowded area, so the feds can't easily swoop in. That's the thinking, I guess.
Yeah.
But he didn't think that hard because he does basically have to run away in a big crowd and be surrounded by feds anyway. I was a bit disappointed. Was it basically they nearly he nearly gets the money, but then he sort of bumped and then has to run like.
No, Ripley spots him because he spots Kelly walking with a mysterious guy with a hood up and sunglasses on, not look like looking scared.
If it had been an old lady, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
Ah, see, she's
also,
busted out of disguise again.
They've already rescued the sister by then, so they don't need to keep up the pretense anymore.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, the tiger clue led to finding her there. And they kind of say offhand, oh, she's fine, don't worry about it.
Yeah, but he doesn't know, and I guess neither does Kelly, that his plan has kind of unraveled at this point. And there are a ton of federal agents in disguise as like vendors and stuff.
Yeah.
I think it would have been better and more entertaining to have the FBI agents disguised as the baseball players on the field.
That would have been amazing. I wanted more and more and more of them. You know how in John Wick everyone's an assassin? I wanted that, but FBI agents.
Didn't you say that like by the fourth John Wick film, there's no actual people in the world?
No,
it's literally just assassins.
The whole world is assassins and stuff, yeah. There's no civilians. There's no one in Paris or anywhere. It's just assassins. Like, yeah, it would have been just, all the feds were just baseball furies and they had a big, like, baseball bat. They just beat him to death with a baseball bat.
But
something.
Also, like, because they're not actual baseball players, the game is horrendous and the whole crowd's like, the fuck's going on with the team this week?
Yeah, there's people eating hot dogs going, these players for the Giants
also,
don't look
all
like
of the players look different. What happens?
They're not giant at all. They're average height.
I was surprised that they were going to do it all again the next day.
What do you mean, all again the next day?
They said that when the game finished, the announcer said, and you will see the same two teams play again tomorrow at this time. I was like, what?
I don't.
Why?
I mean, I already don't understand sport, but baseball in particular is just this fucking Byzantine, bizarre thing that is like, what? Like, A, how does the schedule for any of this work? And then like, I've been to one baseball game.
That's the,
like,
everyone, anyone who doesn't like baseball goes to one baseball game, and that's for life, isn't it?
And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? What? What? And it is mostly just a bunch of guys stand around for a very long time.
What I don't get about it is I can understand children playing baseball for fun in the street.
Yeah.
I don't know why adults would play and watch it in the thousands, if not hundreds, if not millions. What is happening? Like, cricket and baseball are just like, fucking hell.
Yeah, cricket's the same. Like, there's a very similar vibe with cricket and baseball, where it's just everyone's standing around, and then someone throws a ball. They're throwing it in a very specific way, and then you have to hit it in a very specific way, but also you have to miss it in a very specific way. Oh. Like, and you're like, what the fuck? The only difference is that there's a sense of danger with cricket because the ball is made of fucking lead. It's like a small cannonball. And when you're 12 and you're in school, your PE teacher's like, no, catch it. Like,
also, you're probably surrounded by Tories, so it's extra scary.
I don't know if this is true, but I always imagined it being quite weird watching a baseball game because, like, the big ones, they're all televised now, aren't they?
Yeah.
And because it's America, I imagine there's an advert every 2 minutes.
Oh, every televised American sport is a vehicle for ads.
So I imagine, like, when you're actually in the stadium, it's really slow and boring because of that.
Yes. On top because of the fact that you already don't know what's happening.
And are the people who listen to the fucking baseball in the car, you're like, what enjoyment are you getting out of this? This isn't a proper sport like wrestling.
Yeah.
No, this is what I said this to my wife while I was watching this, and she kind of likes bits and pieces of wrestling based on this idea, is that, like, no, wrestling is better because it's theatre.
Yeah. And the baseball, I guess you're away from your wife and you can drink and eat hot dogs, and I guess that's the appeal.
Oh, a nice big foamy beer like that guy next to her had.
Yeah, just rotten.
Just all head in a paper cup.
Aye, well, the mystery of sport eludes us, but, I mean, this climax, I like the visual of the arena emptying, the people running around. And then when it's an empty arena, a little bit, it empties a little quick. Everyone fucking pegged it to their car.
Well, somebody fires a fucking gun into the crowd, so.
Isn't that just a regular baseball game when someone scores like a
home
run?
Not in 1962, maybe now.
But, like, go on.
I was going to say, for me, this was the true terror of the film.
Oh, the crush.
Being in and trying to move through a crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, it looked like a pain in
Right.
the ass, didn't it?
I liked his nonsensical screaming as he was like shoving his way through the crowd. Like I like the way
Yeah.
he completely like immediately and completely breaks down when he realizes his plan's fucked up. Like he just starts like he fires a gun just into a crowd of people. And then yeah, when he's getting away, he's just like rah, rah, as he's running through, and he's like, I thought what was going to happen is his asthma would kill him.
Oh, that would have been
That's what I
tense. They
thought
set
as
that
well.
up.
Again, the film does another thing where it sets this thing up, and then it's like, no, they just shoot him.
I
Yeah.
think the cathartic thing would have been he starts having an asthma attack in the crowd, and then Kelly catches up with him, puts a hand around his mouth, and goes, "How'd you like this, bitch?" Goes wheezing, mock wheezing in his ear. Goodbye.
Fucking
But
nerd.
how would you like this fucking asthma pump breaks it over a knee, douches with it. Fuck you. And then watches he just dies asthma attack and she's like, I got the money, bitch. How's your 20% now? And then she escapes from the FBI and is like, it was all my plan all along.
I
Her
do.
and the small Asian boy run away with his knee hit.
I like how just like blunt and quick the ending is, because they bring her sister to the stadium, so they reunite,
Yeah,
and
they
then we
have.
get the and
Yeah.
yeah, like you said, it's a really cool visual of the big empty stadium as he's like running down through the stands, and then
Yeah.
as you see him run into the like into the diamond, he goes like to the pitcher's mound, you can see all of the agents start
Just the
coming out of all
feds,
of the
yeah.
doors. It's a really like interesting way to set it up.
And when he's shot dead, he dies on the baseball pitcher's mound. I think that's what it's
Yep.
called. The dirt pile.
Yeah, the lump.
And then we just like he does like a dirt angel and dies, and
The
we float off to another movie somewhere. I don't know. We're like it's just a nice yeah. That'll do. I don't know what you can't expect too much from this whole thing. I mean,
Well,
a
I mean, that's not,
nice.
yeah, that's not the point. And it's always nice to watch a film where it's not like, right, what's the stinger scene going to be then for the next required viewing? Well, actually, that's not true because I watched this on Amazon, so obviously it popped up the next fucking film that I'm supposed to watch. And I'm like, fuck off, for God's sake.
What did it pair this with? Is it something afterthoughts?
Weirdly, It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful
No!
Life. It'd
Up
be
next,
good.
It's a Wonderful Life. The fuck are you talking about?
A depressed man or like Scrooge, who's a miserly git, they get. Ghosts visiting them or angels, and then serial killers go. No one visits that. It'd be funny, like an angel comes down and goes, "Listen, Red Lynch, you've been a bad man, and you've got to change your ways." And he just fucking smothers the angel, rapes them and kills them. And a load of shit. Like I love fucking abducting women and forcing them to do my bidding. I don't know. It'd be a I'm just saying there's inconsistencies with ghosts and angels intervening. Why doesn't everyone get one? Where's my
It's the wrong
angel
film.
telling me where I went wrong? Sorry, Abby.
Wrong film.
Wrong film, you're right. So this film, Anthony, did you enjoy, if that's the right word, and expect was the experiment successful for you?
It's a good film. It's a little long. They were like towards the last kind of half an hour, I was kind of tuning out. Because like I don't know why, but
I think
it definitely like
personally, I'm sorry.
the but yeah, just some of the pacing in the middle kind of lost me, and then by the end I was not paying that much attention. But it is good. Like I said, even like the bad noirs just look great, you know?
Yeah.
And I did enjoy it, but the thing is, for me, my main problem with it, and I hate doing this, but my main problem with the film was after watching the first 10 minutes, I imagined a totally different film, which in my
Ah.
mind is better than this one,
What would
where
your
like
film have been?
Where just after the first 10 minutes, the police just don't get involved, and it's all just all about the woman's psychological kind of like trauma going through, which would have been more like the horror film that I imagined what it was going to be. I mean.
More of a full-on Hitchcock type.
Like
Yeah.
she makes a few attempts to escape or get help, and the killer somehow cuts her off and has planned ways to stop her, and then she's genuinely like afraid then and can't do anything but implicate herself in crimes and people maybe even investigate her and look like she
Yeah.
might be the fall guy, as it were, something like that.
That kind of thing. And then when once like the police started getting involved, I was like, oh, okay, this it's more of a, like a standard kind of like crime noir
Procedural.
drama
How
kind
does
of
the
thing.
FBI work?
Okay. And like I can't take away from it. Like what it is good. Like I did enjoy it for the most part, but I couldn't quite get that out of my mind of, oh, I kind of wish it was this. And I hate doing that because
Yeah, it's a bit of a cop
you
out.
can't judge a film on what it's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean.
But that's kind of like what's lingered with me after kind of watching it.
Yeah, it's fine. It was comparatively ho-hum to other noirs as well. Like
Yeah.
I thought the killer is intimidating, and the FBI stuff is interesting to see how they might investigate. But yeah, I mean,
Although that kind of
psychologically, it
was,
lacked a little bit.
yeah, but that was one of my little things was I wasn't quite. I felt like by the end, it's like, okay, I'll kind of understand this man's motivation a bit more and kind of like see what his plan was, kind of thing. And then it was just like, oh, it was just a crap plan by a kind of crap guy,
Yeah, he
you
was
know?
a he had two lives, one where he can be all right and one where he's an absolute psychopath, and he's been making that work for a while. So there
Yeah.
it just we didn't get to know why he did what he did. We didn't get to understand him. He just was an asshole.
Yeah. And I think like the big thing for me was like I really loved the first 10 minutes. Like the first
Oh,
10 minutes
sick.
kind of
You're a bit of
grabbed
a,
me.
they really grabbed you.
Yeah. It just I was like, you know, it kind of it affected me. I was like, wow, this is one hell of a way to start a story, especially like one from like the 60s. You know what I mean? And I was like, where is this going? And it didn't quite live up to the terror of those first kind of like 10 minutes.
Not even a little old lady approaching you in the toilet and being a killer.
I love that for different reasons.
Ah, okay. What about you, Abigail?
Think maybe it could have been salvaged with a different score to bring in a little bit more tension to it.
It
Because
was just
we've been
sort of
saying that
muted
it's a little bit
jazz.
like Hitchcock,
Yeah.
it's a little bit like this, it's a little bit like that. But and then one of the things that's missing that Hitchcock in particular uses is music.
That could have helped. It was very Hitchcockian, though. It felt like you could have told me it was a Hitchcock at, when he wasn't concentrating so hard about being such a genius. Not saying that Hitchcock's done loads of literally ropey movies, but like Hitchcock's got some turkeys in his bunch, so this could fit in with that sort of thing. In a way, it's kind of like an early Brian De Palma movie at times, with the cross-dressing and the violence and the misogyny, the big stadium. It felt like an early Brian De Palma movie to me. But see, I mean, you think a score? What about like? Maybe the FBI guy could struggle a bit more rather than just taking everything in hand and never being in danger himself.
Suppose that's another weird thing. We're very used to the FBI guy being in very much direct contact with the villain of the story. It happens a lot now, but they don't really meet each other per se until the very, very end.
What's another kind of Silence of the Lambs thing? Because they don't meet until really the end of the film.
But they don't exactly profile the guy. They just go, he's a wrong'un. And
But
despite what his various girlfriends think. And the stuff I liked with the Fed with Ripley was him interviewing the son and getting a bit of pushback from the mother. I thought they thought of some of the hurdles FBI guys would have to deal with, and that was interesting. Because not everyone wants to cooperate with the man and the police and all that stuff. So I think it was a nice commentary on how investigations can turn out. Now they're not quite as like Popcorn didn't want to be that helpful. People aren't very sympathetic. It sort of says, you know, sometimes people are like jerks and no one cares when you're on your own, you know. But whatever. So yeah, Abby, you not a foot, not you didn't hear though. You thought you didn't think it was a failure.
It was all right. If it was on TV, I'd watch it again. I don't know if I'd buy it though.
Yeah, so good 7 out of 10 type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Aye. I thought it was all right as well. I wouldn't add much more. Jamie, what about you?
I think we're a rare, like, full consensus in just the general, like, yeah, it was good. I can definitely see the influence, not just on the, you know, the obvious stuff that I picked this for, but like just generally in it, like you mentioned, Brian De Palma, I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
And you know, like crime thrillers and procedurals that would come later, I can see the seeds of a lot of those in this. I think I maybe enjoyed it a bit more because I, for whatever reason, do really enjoy like procedurals. It's why I like.
Yeah, I like. I really like them as well. This I didn't. I do enjoy. I just like seeing people do their work and seeing how it goes and what that involves and what some of the problems can be. It is really enjoyable just to see a fascinating case unfold, isn't it?
I think the music is an interesting one because like there's little bits of music where it is just this more kind of chilled out jazzy kind of score, which I liked, but it was almost like there either wasn't enough of it or too much. It was like a do it or don't kind of thing. But I liked the way it was shot. All of the performances were good. Mm. Some of the way it was, like some of the shots in it were really striking. And I appreciate how much it was pushing against the boundaries that it was made in for the time. Like I was really surprised at how dark it was.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but the word noir.
Yes, thank you.
You know that.
But interestingly, we haven't, or I haven't speculated on the book. So, you know, I ticked a lot of my usual boxes, but not that one. But it is, it's based on a book that's, I guess, John Ripley, the FBI agent, is like a recurring character. He's like he's their Poirot.
Right.
So I think the way the plot unfolds in this is maybe a bit more, makes a bit more sense if it's like a from the case files of John Ripley kind of thing. It's like a case he worked among others. I can see where it sort of fits into a series.
But then again, the point of this is the fear of being a vulnerable woman abused and terrified. Like, I think taking the woman's perspective is the right place to
go. Oh, yeah, no, it's...
And she does a good job of it as well. It's not just, not just screaming and looking scared.
That was the other thing that I kind of appreciated for a film of this time. And, it, you know, it is something Hitchcock was guilty of, as good as he was making movies. A lot of his movies were also an excuse to just torment an actress.
Yeah.
Whereas this has, you know, a, especially for the time, a pretty decent, like, competent, strong female lead who's just, like, damsel in distress.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah,
it's serviceable.
It's so it was like, it was solid. It was too good to dig in too much, but also, like, not quite good enough to be, like, a... what was the Elliot Gould one?
Long Goodbye.
Yeah.
It didn't have as much personality and flair and stuff, did it, as that?
Yeah.
Say. Yeah, no, it just solid. Solid noir. Worth the check out for anyone who's into that sort of thing. Not to be sniffed at. Yeah. Yeah, well, the experiment, mixed results. More experimentation needed. Good. That's the end of the pod, I think, guys. Time to say goodbye.
Bye.
Oh.
Oh?
One more thing. San Francisco looks amazing. That's it.
Yeah, that's true nearly every time San Francisco's in a film, though, isn't it?